are listening to the Gorman Bear Girls podcast. We're just two girls making memories and eating our way through life together. Welcome to our table. Hi, I'm Star.
And I'm Jen.
And we are the Gorman Bear Girls.
Hello, Star.
Hello, Jen. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
I'm doing well as well.
We have our bubbling seltzer water next to us again.
We do.
Want to make that known in case people think they're hearing static.
I don't know that they hear it, though.
I don't know. It sounds so loud
to me.
It
sounds really loud.
I could actually hear it last week, but of course we did hold our cans up just so that they would know what we were talking about next to the microphone.
Oh, well. Got to drink that water.
That's right.
Flush that system.
So, tell us about your weekend. Last week, we told everybody you were going to New York City.
And I did.
And you did. And you did ate your way through.
And I did.
And we want to hear all about it.
Oh, my goodness.
So, well, where should we start? Take us from the minute you got there. Where'd you go first?
Oh, geez. The minute I got there, it was really late.
That's right. You left late that night.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Did you get a parking space? I never did ask you.
I did. Yeah, I did. So we got in later than anticipated for a couple of reasons. My sister got stuck at work. She had to go back home, which she's on the opposite side of the city from where we are. And then she got stuck in killer traffic. That was Wednesday. So we ended up leaving about 2 hours later than we had anticipated leaving, which was like neither one of us were really fond of that. And then earlier in the day, I asked Scott, which way should I go? I like the turnpike. I like the turnpike because there are more places to stop. You know, if you're drinking coffee and if you're drinking water and you have to stop and go to the bathroom, there are just more places to stop when you're on the turnpike.
And I think it would be safer,
yeah,
don't you think?
And he's like, oh, I love 80. Remember we went 80 the last time? And I'm like, yeah, I didn't like that. And he said, well, it's just because getting onto 80 from where we are, you know, you go through all of these kind of back roads basically to get there, but it's supposed to be about 20 minutes shorter. And I'm like, all right, well, we'll go 80. Ugh, I wish we wouldn't have gone 80. Not that it was bad. It really wasn't that bad. Once we were on 80, we were there, and it basically takes you just right into the city. So that's great, except for the fact that as we got close to the George Washington Bridge, there was so much traffic. No, before the traffic even. We missed the initial exit, got off, had to turn around, loop around, come back up, only to find out that it wouldn't have mattered if we missed that exit anyway. Something was going on. They were doing construction on these like middle lanes. I don't know. We had to go a different way. Then we're going through the toll booths right before the George Washington Bridge. And you know how like toll booths, there's a million of them. And then you narrow down to like just a few lanes. Well, they were all like semis. Mm-hmm. And it's just about midnight. We're already going to be a little bit later than we thought. And it was just bumper to bumper. We were not even halfway across the George Washington Bridge. It took like 35 minutes from the toll booth to halfway across the bridge. And it's the weirdest feeling. There was a semi in front of me, to the right of me, to the left of me. And when they start to move, but I'm not moving yet, it gives you that like weird feeling like you're moving.
Yeah.
And I'm tired. And I'm like, oh my God, please just get these people out of my way. Get me into the city. And then it's like hope against hope, praying, please, when we get onto East 85th, let there be a parking space. Because at that time of night, you know, most people are, they're in.
Yeah,
they're
and
home.
Settled for the evening. Yeah. Yeah.
So there's not a parking garage with the apartment building that we stay in. And so, but I got, it was not even halfway down the block. I'm like, oh my gosh, look, there's a parking space. So we got in and it was after 1 o'clock. And we were tired. But then we got into the apartment. There was a little bit of cleaning up that we had to do when we got in, and that was fine. But then we had to get up early the next morning because now you have to play the parking game because it's garbage day on Thursday on the side of the street that we were parked on. It's also street cleaning. So you can't be there. You have to, you play this game where you pull out of your parking space. You watch, you just sit there. There's like a meter maid kind of person, a cop or somebody that comes up and down the street when the trucks are coming. And you just move across the street, put your flashers on, and then you move back over into your spot. Well, it gets a little tricky because there are other people that will drive down the streets. You know, they've pulled out in other blocks and they're trying to get the spots too. So anyway, it was crazy.
City life.
I know. So we had we ended up moving up a little bit, got a space. It was fine. And then we were good for the rest of the time. So we had...
And then the eating began.
And then the eating began. Yes. And then we went to Tall Bagels. It's a couple blocks away. And we got Bialy's with... So we like to order Bialy. I don't know if you know this or if some people maybe don't even know what a Bialy is, but it's basically a bagel, but it's a little bit different. I don't know all of the specifics of it, but it's less carbs, less calories.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
I've heard of them before, but yeah. I didn't really
know. And it's basically
much
a bagel. It's shaped just like a bagel. And it's just plain, you know, it's just like a plain bagel. So we got that with a jalapeno, like cream cheese. And white fish, not a white fish salad, but just pieces of white fish that they put that on there. And it was so good. Truthfully, I could do that every morning, but I don't want to do the same thing every day because there are so many different places to eat. So we did that. And then that was the day. Thursday was the day of the event that night. So we weren't going to really eat a lot later. And it was already late because we had played the stupid parking game. So we didn't do a lot that on Thursday. And then we got ready. And then a friend that we were going with came, met us at the apartment. We shared a bottle of wine. And then across the street is PQR, which their pizza is to die for. We get it every time that we go. It is so good. And it as well. It's like so easily digestible. I know this sounds so funny. People probably like, you guys are so old. Why are you talking about things that are less calories, easier to digest? But for people that have gluten intolerance or people that can't, like I do have a little bit of a difficult time if I eat too much bread kind of stuff. It gives me a little bit of an upset stomach.
Yeah.
I don't have like celiac or anything, but I do think that I'm a little bit intolerant of certain, you know, certain things, be it dairy or gluten. I notice those kind of things, and this pizza never bothers me, which is dangerous. You can eat a lot of it. But they use a 96-hour fermentation process, and it's got like a higher water content in it, and the gases turn to alcohol and it burns off some of the gluten that's in there. And it's just really airy, crispy crust with all of this deliciousness.
Sounds very scientific.
It is very scientific and it's very delicious. So we pre-gamed Farm to Tray a little bit by doing that, as if there wasn't going to be enough food and wine there. We, you know, had to eat before
so tell,
we went.
Tell everybody what Farm to Tray is again in case they didn't catch the last episode.
Farm to Tray is it is an event that it's an annual event, always held mid-May. This was the 7th year that they did this. It's an event that raises funds to help feed homeless or people that, you know, maybe aren't necessarily homeless, but are having trouble just financially and need a meal. And they serve over 1,000 hungry New Yorkers a day.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. Yeah, it's incredible when you think about that. And they serve them the food that it's healthy. You can actually go on, they do have a Facebook page. They'll post the menus on there. It's a sustainable menu. They serve as much as they can with local fresh ingredients. They're feeding them a really healthy meal every day during the week. And so we got involved in it because we have friends who are involved in it. And it just seemed like it was a great thing to kind of do when to go up to the city and to do this. I have to say, like, there's a little piece of my heart that I always leave in New York. It's a city that I just love. You know, I think everybody has, I love Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is my home. I would never want to move from Pittsburgh. I can't see myself living in New York City. I could definitely stay there, but I couldn't see myself living there. But I just love going there. So any excuse that I have to go is great. But I mean, what a better thing to do.
Yeah, when you can support a cause that you believe in, that makes it all the better.
Yeah, absolutely. And so there are great chefs, New York chefs, that donate their time and resources to put this event on. And Sarah Pendolfi and her husband, Steve, have been hugely instrumental in this. It started, I guess, basically for her 7 years ago as a project. You know, she was getting ready to graduate, and one of her professors, it was kind of this project, and it just kind of took off. I mean, they've raised over $2 million.
Wow, that's wonderful.
And they have live auction during the night, and there were probably, I think there were about 30 different small bites to taste, and everything I had was delicious. I think there were a couple that I didn't get to. It's hard to consume 30 different things, but yeah, it's a great event. So
could you name your top three?
Well,
tell us a little bit about that.
Top three. Okay. So we buy the VIP tickets, and they have an hour before general admission. You go in, there's a kind of a garden area off to the side. And this year they had the women of Farm to Tray. So they were all women chefs that were doing that. And
I love that, because you don't see a lot of women chefs as
no,
much.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
You don't. You really don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, and they exist. You
absolutely
know what I mean?
They
They're
do.
Out there.
Yeah.
We women like to cook too. But probably my favorite thing that I had out there was a basil ricotta cake with spring strawberries and sweet corn. So it's on Facebook too, also probably on Twitter, but if you go to our Instagram, you'll see there's a picture of that on there. It was delicious. It almost looked like, when you looked at it, it looked a little bit like cornbread or something, but it was this just kind of surprise bite of, it wasn't extremely sweet. It was just sweet enough. And that sweet corn, like when you bit into it, it just kind of like popped in your mouth, and it had a really beautiful strawberry and basil on top, and it was drizzled on the top. It was just, that was probably my favorite thing outside. They had head-on shrimp as well. So the first thing was by Caroline Schiff. She's a pastry chef. And then the head-on shrimp, I just love that. I mean, I love shrimp.
Yeah, me too.
And sometimes people think that's kind of weird, because you pull the head off, you eat the shrimp, you pop the tail, and then you suck the head out, you know. But it's so good.
Yeah.
And that, who did that? Ginger Pierce. From Jams, Ginger Pierce did the head on shrimp. But those were my two favorite things during that time. Then inside, some of my favorites were the things that were like the tartare.
Yeah, you love that.
I do. Yeah, and so the one was cow wagyu tartare.
So explain tartare for anybody who's listening and doesn't
like
know.
Raw beef,
right? Yeah,
and
some
is.
People
yeah.
don't know that.
Yeah, and
so if you're not into raw meat, don't get anything.
Yeah, if you don't like rare meat, don't get tartare. But and so, honest to goodness, so my sister and our friend Ciro are both very adventurous eaters. They are. Neither one of them would eat it. I'm like, come on, guys, you've got to try this. It's really good. It's not what you think. It doesn't feel like you just whipped a piece of steak out of the refrigerator and you're eating it. Like, it doesn't taste like you're eating raw meat. But whatever, I could not convince them. Although they ate something else that was tartare, but they wouldn't eat that, I think, because it was more, it was like,
was
kind
it the
of
presentation?
Minced up. And perhaps because it was, it looked like
raw
a
beef.
Bunch of raw, it looked like a bunch of raw beef. Yeah, that was just all piled onto a crostini, basically, you know, with, there were black truffle on top. I thought it was amazing. It was so good. But they weren't into it. I ate theirs, which is fine. More for me. And then the other things that I really liked in there, and I tried to post some of these, were by Chef Preston Madsen. And he had two different things. One was like this house-made ricotta that was on this little crisp, and it had marinated fava beans and a crispy sweet Calabrian chili on there. That was amazing.
That is right up my alley.
And then he did a salumi Toscano with anchovies and peppers on there. And that was like a bite. You just pop that baby right in your mouth. That was delicious too. Those two things were really, really incredible. But there were a ton of things that were amazing. Like, it, you know, to just pull those out.
It's hard to choose, I'm sure.
It is, because there wasn't anything that I didn't like. There really wasn't. I'll eat just about anything. And so there wasn't anything that wasn't delicious. It was really good. And then I think that during the event, they raised, I think, $280,000.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's great.
And I looked back, there were some years where they raised like $400,000. And there are a lot of people that you'll see. So for us here, you know, in Pittsburgh, if you're looking at foodies in Pittsburgh and you see how many, we'll go to Instagram and say how many Instagram followers they have. If somebody has 10,000 Instagram followers or 30,000 Instagram followers, it's like, wow, that's amazing. Well, there are some bigger New York foodies that were there that have like hundreds of thousands of followers. And so it's kind of fun to see. There were a couple that I've met before, and there were a couple that I got to meet for the first time this time. And so that's fun too, because then you kind of stand there and talk food with them. And it's kind of neat when you put a name to a face where you see somebody,
sure.
You know, it's a little bit different. You get to know people's personality a little bit, but if people don't, like, we don't post a lot of video stuff, so you might not necessarily, until you meet us in person, really know who we are as people just based on the food that we post, you know?
Yeah. Well, in social media in general, I think you don't always,
hard.
Yeah. You think you know people, you don't know them, whatever.
Right.
It can be negative, it can be positive.
Exactly. Very much so.
But when you meet us, it'll be positive.
We promise. It'll be positive when you meet us. We try to be positive. So that was fun. But this is an event that, like, Susan Sarandon has attended. Like,
nice.
She's a huge supporter of the Soup Kitchen. So it's held at Church of the Holy Apostles. Holy Apostle Soup Kitchen is the thing. They do it every year.
Now, is there a way to donate online if anybody listening believes in this cause? So is there a website?
Yeah, absolutely.
That they can go to?
If you just go to, I think you can just even type in Holy Apostle Soup Kitchen. If you type in Holy Apostle Soup Kitchen Farm to Tray 2019, the link is probably still on there where you can click to donate. You could donate directly by going to their website as well. And I would imagine, I didn't check, but I would imagine that right on Facebook, you can, there's probably a link on their Facebook page, Holy Apostle Soup Kitchen, that you could do that too. And I just want to kind of put it out there, because I feel a little bit like some people might say, you live in Pittsburgh and you're going to New York City. Like, why are you supporting this? Again, like I said, I like to go up there as often as I can. I don't get to go up as much as I would like to. I like to go up with my husband. I like to go up with my sisters, with my family. I would go up with anybody if anybody wants to go. I love being in the city. So there is a little piece of my heart that's there. And you see a lot of people. We engage with them.
Yeah.
Especially when you're with my sister, Sarah. She can't pass. And you'd see certain people on the street. And I get it. For anybody that's listening, sometimes you're on the subway. There are some people that monopolize on the idea that there are people there and they're just basically panhandling for money. But that's not the case. In so many situations, you see, we've met some really sweet people. We met a really, really very sweet man on the street when we were shopping the one day. And he had asked for money, and then initially said, it's okay if you don't have any money. He basically told me, he's like, could you go in there and get me a cup of coffee?
Oh, and
one
that's
cream,
when you
one
know
sugar.
Somebody
yeah.
really needs
and,
it. Yeah.
we gave, my sister pulled out a 20, gave him $20, and we stood there and we talked with him for a little bit. And he, a very intellectual man, very smart, knew a lot about just a lot of different things. And he was just the kindest, sweetest person. He was so gracious. And it was the cutest as we, as we're walking away, he said, I'm coming to Pittsburgh. But I just want to back up and say, you know, so for anybody that's like, well, you, you know, you go up to, there's homeless people that are in Pittsburgh too. You go up to New York City and you support such a cause. Yeah, I do. There's a piece of my heart that's there and I love it, but I would support that same cause here. And we
do support causes here.
We do support causes right here in Pittsburgh as well. And if anybody knows of something that is like that, I'm happy to get involved with it here as well, you know. But we do. We've shared some different things and we'll share things throughout this year as we go, and we support different causes that are relevant to our city here. But, you know.
Right.
That's just...
So do they say how much it costs them per day to feed 1,000 people?
Yeah, so they do. They talk about different things. So there's different things that they do, because they do bagged lunches for some people. They do different things for elderly. They do different things for kids. There are some different things that they have that are available. And I did not jot down what it all was, because they were talking about it at the event. And they did this last year, too, where they'll kind of say there is a period of time where they take live donations right there on the floor, and people will come over to you with their iPad. You know, you raise your hand, they come over and you donate additional money, and it'll say, you know, $500 does XYZ, $500 feeds, you know, this many elderly people a bag lunch to take with them, you know. So it, they do give statistical information, and I believe you can access some of that too online as well. But it's amazing also, like, what they're, how they're doing it. I think that there are just so many people that are so supportive of it, that are giving, you know, they're not going to the, you know, up there. They're not going into necessarily into Whole Foods or Trader Joe's or Fairway and buying food from the, you know, they're getting, there are organizations and companies, and Whole Foods is a huge supporter of this event. Okay. So they do donate. So I don't want to say that they're, you know, they are involved with that. But you know, they're getting what they're giving them.
You know, this goes to show you, yeah, it goes to show you with one person who has real compassion can do and can start a ball rolling, because compassion is an emotion that requires action. And so when you feel true compassion for somebody, then you start doing what you know you need to do. You become active and your passion will spread to other people. And that's obviously what has happened in that situation. And probably with every large event that takes care of people and charity that helps people. And that's what it's all about, people helping people. And I think what we do here, like you going and doing something like that, these are the stories we want to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, it's food is the connector, but it's bringing people together. It's helping people. It's feeding people. It's nurturing people. And definitely to do more of that. And I, like you said, if there are any listeners out there that, what are you doing? I want to know what other people are doing. What are you doing in Pittsburgh to help other people?
Yeah, and, whatever it is, whatever the cause is that's helping people who are in need, whatever that might be, bringing awareness to a certain topic that is, you know, necessary, whatever it might be. I mean, I think it's important to be involved. And to think that this particular event started as an idea that a professor had given as like a graduate project to a student who then did it that year, and then it just took off.
Yeah.
They've been doing it every year.
Yeah.
You know, this is the seventh year, and it's well attended by a lot of people, and some of them are the very same people for me. I mean, we've been going now I wouldn't want to miss it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a really great event.
That's wonderful.
So, yeah. So that was what our, that was the basic premise as to why we went up this time of year. When we go in May, that's why we go. We go to attend that. We've made it into a sister's trip, and it was great. Super relaxing. We scheduled nothing else. The only other thing we had to do, So Sarah, who produces that event, it was her 40th birthday. Her birthday happens to be on the same day as my husband, May 14th. And they were having a 40th birthday party for her on Saturday. So we went to her birthday party, but we had no schedule otherwise except to shop and eat. And that's what we did.
Hey, it sounds fantastic to me.
Yeah. So one of the other places that we always go to Seymour's. I love Seymour's. It was so cool because when we were there this time, Topher, who is the, I think he's like the general manager. He manages all of the Seymour's. I believe Seymour's has 7 different locations. He has started restaurants in Hell's Kitchen. He has done, he's done a lot. I asked him about the Oyster Recovery Project or partnership, and we talked about it for a while. He knows who Jessica Lewis is.
Okay.
So we had talked a little bit about that, but we go into Seymour's every time, and typically we're either just doing lunch or dinner. We've not done weekend brunch there, which every time we're there, I'm like, we have to go for brunch. We have to go for brunch because they make these incredible, it's a fried avocado with a poached egg and a grilled shrimp, and it's like Eggs Benedict kind of ish. It's a fried avocado. It is so good. And they make incredible sweet potato fries, and of course I get oysters, but we got the lobster Benedict, and they make a great salad, like a kale salad with quinoa that comes with there. That's like their house salad that comes with your meal. We love going there, and we go to the Nolita location, which is right catty corner from Little Italy. But at this time of year, they have everything kind of open up. If it's a nice day, you feel the breeze. So you almost feel like here you are at a seafood restaurant. You almost feel like you're, you know, near the shore, like you're near the water somewhere. If you look outside, that's not what you see at all. But it kind of feels that way, and it's white and really bright in there. And so it has that kind of feel. We kept saying that, especially this time, because we were kind of sitting by one of the windows. I'm like, it feels so nice. feel like you're transported elsewhere. But yeah, they're huge. They participate in the whole oyster recovery thing. He was super excited about to talk about that, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, we did that. Absolutely love that. Super disappointed this time. I almost feel like I did something wrong, because every New York trip always includes Levon Bakery for chocolate chip cookies. And we decided to go on our way out of the city because you want to get them when they're like as fresh as possible. So we were getting them Sunday afternoon, heading out. So I drove from the Upper East Side to the Upper West Side to get cookies. And then we were going to head out through the Lincoln Tunnel. And I could not find a parking space anywhere.
Oh, no.
The line getting in is always eternal, which that doesn't deter anyone because the cookies are so good. But I could not find a parking space, and we drove around. There are cops on every corner, which is not the typical thing. I mean, we weren't in Times Square. We're on the Upper West Side. Like, there was just no, I couldn't do it. My vision started to go, like, I started getting really anxious. My vision started to do crazy things, and I thought, that's it. I just have to go. I felt really bad, too, because just a few blocks from there, our cousin works at a coffee shop, and we wanted to, I don't know if he was there that day or not, but we wanted to get cookies, just stop in and surprise him and say hello, and we didn't get to do that either.
Oh,
but it's
okay.
Bummer. Yeah. I'm sure I had consumed enough calories over the time in all the different places that we did eat that I did not need the cookie. But I like to bring them home for my kids and for my husband. And I would have brought one home. One of the ladies that I work with, I brought her home one time because she loves chocolate and sweets. So, but anyway, I didn't get to do that. I feel like I did something wrong. I feel guilty that I didn't get the cookies. It's a tradition that I've never, since the first time that I'd gone there, I've never not gone to the city and gotten chocolate chip cookies from Levon.
Well, it's not your fault.
It feels like my fault.
It was everybody who took up those parking spaces.
It's all those people that were parking in front of their apartments.
What is their
How
problem?
How dare them? Yeah. I should have just double parked and stood in line for 3 hours for my cookies and like some of these other people. It just gets crazy. The traffic is just so, it's so crazy.
Yeah.
We use the subway a lot, but we'll Uber a lot as well. And it can be, you just kind of have to trust that, you know, we've done taxi too, but they're crazy. You know, they're just driving. It's like, oh my gosh, that bus is going to drive right into us, you know. Just kind of have to look away, close your eyes, go with the flow.
Yeah. Tell me when we're there.
Yeah. Just tell me when we arrive. Yeah.
That's funny.
But it was fun. And then we stopped on the way home in Clinton, New Jersey, right off the turnpike because we decided to take the turnpike home. We suffered 80 on the way up, but we were coming home on the turnpike. So the Clinton Diner, which is owned by our friend's sister and husband, huge diner. So they've been on Food Network before. They make this, like, I think the burger ends up being 80 pounds, the hamburger
wow.
itself. And so by the time everything is on it, the bun, they do all of their baked goods, all of their bread and everything in-house. There's a bakery downstairs. But they do these like huge burgers. They've been on Food Network before. You can look it up, Clinton Diner. And they make this huge burger. Obviously, you have to order it in advance. You can't just show up and say,
hey, fry me up one of those 80-pound burgers.
Fry me up one of the, yeah, and make it quick. I'm really hungry. I think they have like some kind of contest with it. You know, if you can, I don't know how many people have to eat it. I mean, how many people does it take to eat 80 pounds of ground beef?
Oh, God. I don't know. That's crazy.
Yeah.
How much does it cost?
I don't know. It was on the menu. I should have actually.
I would be interested in
that. Yeah.
Wonder if they
have... I'll have to call Ciro and ask him, like, how much does that burger cost? I can't imagine. I can't imagine how many people it takes to eat that burger or how that even got started. But there is a story on, you can find it. It was on, they were on Food Network.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
So you went there.
So we went there. Yeah. I actually got Mediterranean chicken.
That's a far cry from an 80-pound burger.
Yeah, it was really good.
It was time to get healthier as you were leaving.
Yeah, I was trying to be a little
bit. City.
Well, I wouldn't say healthy. I also got their fresh-cut fries and their cauliflower au gratin. Neither of which are
potatoes, vegetables.
Exactly.
I mean, come on.
They're good for you. And then I ordered key lime pie and baklava.
Fruit?
They are nuts. It's all very healthy. And so it took me what? Not bad. I mean, we got there Wednesday, left Sunday. It took me Monday morning to Wednesday morning to
flush
get
it
off,
out.
Yeah, to get off everything I put on while I was there. So that's really not so bad, right?
Yeah, no, not bad at all.
Yeah, it took me less days to get it off than it did to put it on. Of course, you're walking around a lot in the city too, so you're
right.
Probably
that,
working
that
some of it off as you're taking it in. But
yeah, my mother-in-law went to Italy. She went to Florence mm-hmm. for a few months once, and she came back like 20 pounds thinner. And she was just telling me about all this food that she ate constantly every day. And when I would talk to her, she'd be eating somewhere different. But they walked everywhere they went. They drove nowhere whatsoever. And it goes to show you, it really makes a big difference.
Huge.
Mm-hmm. You got to move your body.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep moving.
That's right.
The more you move, the more you can eat. The hungrier you are. Yeah. So anyway, was a lot of fun.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. I can't wait to go back again.
She's dreaming. Her eyes are far off. She left her heart in New York City.
Yeah, there's a piece
not
of it.
Not San Francisco, New York City.
No, not San Francisco. Although San Francisco, I haven't been there. Right, I'm 48. the last time I was there, I think I was 18.
It's such a beautiful place.
It is. It's absolutely beautiful. Yeah. I remember even at 18 years old, I mean, like taking in the views, just looking down, like being up high and looking down over the sea. I mean, it was just amazing. I loved Fisherman's Wharf.
Yeah.
Like everything. I mean, I would love, well, we talk about going to California together.
Yeah,
to go
sometime
to, like, Napa,
to go to Napa.
Sometime. Yeah, we've got to do that as a...
We definitely...
I mean, we say it's a girl's trip, but we should probably take our husbands along.
Yeah, maybe.
They won't enjoy it as much as we do. But
someday, yeah. I lived in California for 8 years, and we would visit San Francisco on a pretty regular basis because my grandmother-in-law, she lived in the Bay Area, and we would go down there a lot, and it is one of the most beautiful places ever. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, there are lots of beautiful places.
There are.
Monterey is beautiful. Mm-hmm. When I was there, we went to Big Sur. Like, there's just lots of beautiful places.
There
I guess are. So. I guess California holds a little piece of your heart.
Yeah, it does.
Maybe Napa more specifically holds a little piece of your heart for various reasons, mostly wine.
And it's been a while.
Yeah.
Since I've been there. But yeah.
Yeah, we've got to plan that trip.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we talked all about New York City. Is there anything else you want to mention before we sign off for this week?
No, not really. No? I just want to encourage people, kind of like you said, if there's anything that you can get involved in that helps somebody that's in need.
Right. Yeah. Know? And let us know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because I think that's our question of the week.
And if you're somebody in the Pittsburgh area who produces a particular event, you know, reach out to us, let us know. I mean, we can't possibly know about everything. We do try to search different things. Anything that we have found, anytime people have reached out to us, we've tried to get involved with with some different things. So, let us know what those things are. We'd love to hear.
Absolutely.
What you're doing.
So if they want to answer our question, how do they get a hold of us?
Well, you can direct message us on Instagram. Give us a follow on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And you can send us email. You can @GormanBerg or @GormanBergGirls.com. Or
I am Jen @GormanBerg or GormanBergGirls.com. And if you would be so kind to rate and review us on iTunes or wherever it is that you listen to your podcasts, that helps other people to find us. Thanks for listening today, and we will talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
See you later.